You are listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I'm Pastor Jimmy, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's sermon lesson. We are located in Orlando, Florida, and we're so glad that you are listening in on us and hope and pray that these next few minutes will be intellectually informative, spiritually enlightening, and altogether life-changing. Thank you again for listening in. It's preaching time. It's preaching time. It's time to hear a word from the Lord. And we have one for you today. Our scripture will be coming from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, verses 16. We'll start at 16. We're going to work our way down to verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 16. And it reads this way, it says this. And so the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Father, we thank you so much for this word that you've given us. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth that it brings forth to us. Help us, God, to not just become spiritual eggheads and learn what it says, but help us, God, to do what it tells us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke informed us that Jesus spoke about matters concerning the kingdom of God for the 40 days of his post-resurrected appearance. So we think back on last week, we remember what he said, right? We also learned that the main thing of interest for the disciples for those 30 days was the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. But remind us, Jesus spoke for 40 days after his post-resurrected appearance about matters concerning the kingdom. And the first thing that the disciples and the main thing that they were concerned about in those 40 days was the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. Jesus told them and us that what the disciples were concerned about was not something for them to be concerned about. He said that God is the one who will determine the time when that happens. When the world is restored back to the theocratic rule and reign of God, Jesus does not leave his concerned disciples hanging, but he told them what concerns them, and that is that they should hear and understand what the Father says. He said, "Even though my Father has not made known to you the time or the period that the kingdom of Israel will be restored, he has given them power through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in the world." I want you to hear that. I hope you are hearing this, right? He didn't leave them hanging after they asked about the restoration of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in the world." So here's the question. Witnesses of what? What is it that they are witnessing? And the answer to this question, we have to remember what it is the disciples were witnessing so that we can know what they are now witnesses of, right? So as we answer this question, listen to me, we have to remember what it is that the disciples were witnesses to, so that we can know what they are witnesses of. If you are taking notes, write this down. The disciples witnessed the life, ministry, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus revealed to his disciples what they are to be concerned about. And that concern is providing eyewitness accounts of the life, ministry, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ to the people in the world. Why is this necessary? Why is it necessary for the disciples to be the witness of Jesus to the world? It is because in Luke 8 and 10, Jesus told his disciples that they have been allowed to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables. In other words, they see, but without seeing. They hear, but without understanding. Jesus also told the people in Capernaum in Luke 4:43. That he must go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns too. For this is what I was sent to do. His assignment as the incarnate God is to proclaim to the world the good news of the kingdom of God. You are with me? So now, you and I can see why Jesus spoke about matters concerning the kingdom of God. It was because this is what he was sent to do. And now you and I can see why. His communication with the disciples was a conversation in the form of commands about going and making disciples, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, proclaiming repentance and forgiveness in his name, and loving him with a love greater than anyone else. Thus providing the spiritual needs of the people. I say all of that to say that the matters of the kingdom of God demand that the believers go and make disciples. The matters of the kingdom of God demand that the believers go and make disciples. This is part one of a four-part series. Part one, I'm going to focus on the demand to go. Make disciples. All right. So our subject today is the matters of the kingdom, and our complement is that it demands that believers go and make disciples. Matters of the kingdom demands that believers go and make disciples. All right. This is what we're going to focus on as we move through this four-part series. All right. Point one, they went. All right, they went. And so it says, so the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain Jesus had designated. All right, they went. Let's talk about that. Let's see what he says about that. In Matthew 28:1-10, we have the account of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And in that resurrection event in verse 10, Jesus appeared to the two Marys and instructed them to go and tell his disciples to go to Galilee, for there they will see him. The interesting thing about this passage is that even with the obvious doubt that was unanimous between 11 disciples, they went to Galilee expecting to meet Jesus there. So what I take from them is that we can still do what God commands us, even if we have some doubt about Jesus. The disciples went to Galilee as they were instructed. Now, we are Jesus's disciples, and we must do as he commands, even though we may have some doubt. Sure, some of us doubt the full bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but this does not stop Jesus from issuing the command to his disciples when they had doubt and fear and thought they had seen a ghost. The two Marys were perplexed when they found the tomb empty. However, they were still commanded to go and tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And guess what? They went and did as he told them to do. Now, the Bible does show another route that one can take concerning Jesus' resurrection, and that is the route of the sinner. Let me just read it as it is written in Matthew 28:11-15. Just listen to this. While they were going, some of the guards went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. These were the guards that were at the tomb. They saw it. They eyewitnessed it. And after they had assembled with the elders and formed a plan, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, listen to this, you are to say his disciples came at night and stole his body while we were asleep. If this matter is heard before the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story is told among the Jews to this day. To this very day, the same story is that the body was stolen from the tomb. Now, however, the true disciple, amid worship and doubt, after seeing the risen Christ, obeyed his command for them to go and make disciples, and they went. And this is the route of the true disciple and the lover of Christ. Even with doubt, even with some concern, we still go and do what he asked us to do. So they went and did what he said. They went to Galilee and waited for him there. Next, point two. They saw. And when they saw him, verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, some doubted. Now, they are the disciples who have been instructed to go to Galilee, and they went, as the two Marys told them to do. Bunch of doubt going on, right? Even in the midst of worship, there's still some doubt. Let's look at this, see what he says. The saying, seeing is believing, is not always true. In the case of the resurrection, the two Marys saw him and had some doubt. Peter saw the empty tomb and pondered something other than the resurrected Christ. Jesus appeared before the disciples, and some were amazed and others doubted. Now, think about it. Jesus taught this to them for 3 years. He told them parabolic stories. He told them through literal truth statements. And with all of that, some of them, still after seeing him, had some doubt. The good thing is that this did not stop Jesus from issuing his great commission to them, right? That gives me great comfort to know, even with the doubt, Jesus still issued his great commission. We are his disciples, and he is still issuing his great commission to us. We may be like Peter and are pondering what this resurrected Christ means. We may be like Thomas and doubt the truth of the eyewitnesses' account in the writings of the gospel writers. Regardless of either of these for us, Jesus was thinking of you and me when he told Thomas, you believe because you see me, but blessed are those who believe who have not seen me. That's us. That's us. So they went, they saw, next they heard. They went, they saw, next they heard. Point three. I'm not going to hold you long. I don't want you to hear this. Stay with me. Verse 18. Then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is important that we hear this now. I want you to open your notebooks and listen. Verse 18 comes after verse 17. And this is not merely for the obvious numerical reason, but this is for the theological reason of Jesus trusting us even when he knows we have doubt. All right? Verse 17, Matthew records that when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now you would think, listen to me, you would think that Jesus would do as he and the angel did previously. They both dealt with the doubt, then issued the command to reveal the truth about the resurrection, right? Go and tell my disciples to go. Go and this time, Jesus ignored the doubt And instead he issued the prerequisite of the Great Commission. So instead of instructing them and telling them about, you know, why are you looking for the a living among the dead, and go and tell my disciples to meet me as I told you that I would do, right? That I would get up from the grave. This time, Jesus ignored the doubt. And instead, he issued the prerequisite of the Great Commission. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want you to hear this now. The raw Greek rendering for the word authority, right, is authority, right? That's how they define it. And in this context, it means that Jesus has all rights to rule over all the matters concerning salvation. I want you to hear this now. In other words, Jesus has been given the power from heaven and the power in earth to grant salvation to all who believe. And he was assuring these disciples, both the worshipers and the doubters, that he was declaring them saved. Y'all with me? He was declaring them saved through his ruling authority to do so. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority for what? For salvation. He was declaring them in that prerequisite before the Great Commission that you are, through my ruling authority, saved. So it is with you and me. Doubt or worship, we are declared saved because Jesus said so. Whoever believes in me will be saved and will have eternal life. Jesus, that's what he says. If you believe, you shall receive eternal life. He has the authority, all authority given to him. So they went, they saw, and now they heard. Okay, let's look at the last point. I'll let you go. Last point, they received. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. The disciples went to Galilee just as Jesus commanded. And there they saw the risen Christ in the flesh. Then they heard Jesus declare them, both the worshipers and the doubters, saved through his complete authority granted to him from heaven and in earth to do so. Now the only thing left is the issuing of the Great Commission. It's time to receive the Great Commission. Therefore, since you went, and you believe. And now that you have seen Jesus through the word, and now that you are assured of your salvation through Jesus' complete authority to do so, then all that is left to do is to fulfill Jesus' great commission. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, the word go means to move from one state of idleness and move to a position of activity. You hear me? The word go means to move from the state of idleness and move to a position of activity. The meaning of make disciples is to grant unbelievers the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the gospel and to provide the teaching and instructions that will make them students of the word of God. You hear me? And where we are going and doing this is in the entire world. All nations mean, listen to me, all nations mean all people groups of every ethnicity, right? That means you can't be a racist, right? You gotta go to everybody. And then listen to me, and then we are to baptize them in the name of the triune God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptism is baptizo in Greek, and the raw definition is immerse, meaning to use water in a public ceremony to signify the restoration of a severed relationship with God through the saving faith in Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Baptism, baptize them. This is a, well, I don't need to be baptized. Yes, you do. It's a command from God. It's one of the sacraments to be baptized. And the baptism signifies your restored relationship that was severed through your sin, but the sin has been removed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through your faith in him, you now have a restored relationship, and baptism is a ceremony that is publicly identifying you as one who is now a follower of Christ. So you must be baptized publicly, letting folk know, I have been redeemed, been bought with a price, and I'm no longer my own, but I belong to God. You have to let the world know, because if you're a secret agent Christian, you're going to be like Nicodemus and only show up when you need to show up. But you need to let the world know who you are, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? It is the power of salvation to all who believe. You need to let the world know that you are a child of the King. And then we are to teach them, right? We baptize them. And then you are to teach them and make them accountable to the commands of God taught in the scriptures. And that's where we drop off, right? We might tell somebody about Jesus. And if they do get saved, we're done. We clap our hands. We say, thank you, Jesus. We leave them alone. He says, no, but teach them, instruct them. Make them accountable to the commands of God taught in the scriptures. Right? And lastly, we are to know and believe that Jesus will be with us every step of the way until we die or until he returns, one or the other. That he will never leave us alone, but he will always be there with us. We have to believe that. That he's there when we witness the gospel. Because he is the word of God, and he has the authority has been given to him from heaven and on earth to allow that gospel to take its power and to transform a life from sinning to a life of righteousness. We have to believe that he's never going to leave us alone, but he'll be right there with us when we are speaking the words of truth to those who are in need of salvation. We have to understand that Jesus will always be there with us. Now, the manner of the kingdom of God demands, listen to me, the manner of the kingdom of God demands that we do this and do it now and continuously until Jesus returns. The matters of the kingdom of God demand that we do this and do it now and continuously until Jesus returns. So you went and believed and became a Christian, right? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You went and believed, and now you're a Christian. You saw Jesus through the word of God. You didn't see him physically. He said, but bless those who have not seen and believe, right? You saw Jesus. You've seen him. We talked about it on Easter, right? He died for our sins, and he rose on the third day morning. He ascended on high. He appeared 40 days after his ascent, after his resurrection. He allowed them to touch him and see that he was not a ghost. He ate fish. He conversed with them and he talked about matters of the kingdom, right? So you saw him through the word of God. You heard of the assurance of your salvation. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he's assuring you today that because you believe, you are saved. You don't have to doubt that. You can walk with confidence. And know that when you die and lay your head down and never get up again, that you will be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And now you receive Jesus' great commission, right? You received it. You received his great commission. And that commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the triune God. Go. And teach them to obey everything I've taught you. Remember that I'm with you until the end of the age. So the only thing left to do is to go and make disciples. The only thing left to do is to go and make disciples. That's all I got for you today. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word, quickly stated to us, clearly given to us what our concerns should be. Our concerns are your concerns, and that is matters of your kingdom. And that is revealed to us through Jesus Christ, proclamation of the gospel. So the men, women, boys, and girls can be saved. God help us today to move off our idleness, to move into activity of doing your commands. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And together in agreement, we all say, amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Just a few announcements before our after church chat. There are two ways to give offering: electronically via Cash App, hashtag The Proclamator, or by mail to 511 Eartha Lane, Orlando, Florida 32805. Please fill out a contact card before you sign off today if you're new here, have never filled one out, or need to update your information. This ensures you receive valuable church news and updates and your year-end giving statement. To fill out this contact card, go to postable.com/proclamationchurch. Join us every weekday at 12 p.m. for prayer at the same Zoom link. Noon Zoom is a time to share prayer requests and praise reports and intercede for the needs of our church, community, and our world. We gather for Bible study every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss this important time of growing deeper in your understanding of God and God's Word. All of our Sunday sermons are available on sermon audio for you to re-listen or share with someone who needs to hear a good word. Visit sermonaudio.com/theproclamator to listen or download. If you're not yet a member of a church community, we'd love to welcome you as a member of Proclamation Church. Contact Pastor Jimmy or Pastor Keon for more information about Proclamation Church or for help finding a local church if you're not based in the Orlando area. This week's Bible reading can be found in the chat. Read along with us as we make our way through the scriptures. If you'd like to receive a weekly text of the Bible reading, please text Sign Me Up to 407-468-7931. Again, thank you for being here with us at Proclamation Church. We hope you'll stick around for the after church chat to discuss the sermon and spend a few moments in fellowship.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I am Pastor Jimmy, and it is my hope and prayer that the sermon lesson has opened your eyes to the truth of the scriptures and that you are able to apply its meaning to your life. Thank you, and may God's love continue to shine on you. Stay safe and tune in again.